Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. I want to thank you for taking time out to join us here tonight on Kingdom Encounter Live, where each week our goal is to help you to know God and understand what His desire is for your life. Now, I guarantee you this word is going to be a right now word, a word that will ultimately change your way of thinking, which should change your way of making decisions, which will change your destiny if you allow it to. In the name of Jesus. Now we're going to make this confession and we're going to jump right into the word. It says this in according to Isaiah 61 and 1. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because it is He who has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Father God in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, to you alone we give all the glory, the honor, and praise that is due your name. Father, we declare that this is the day which you've made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, as we prepare to study your word tonight, I'm anticipating, Father God, manifestation, visitation, demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, I decrease that you may increase. Father, let them hear your word. Let them hear your voice. Let your word pierce their hearts right now in the name of Jesus and change their lives forever. Father, let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word upon the tablets of their hearts. Father, to you alone, I give all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and all that will be said and done tonight. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Let us all say amen. And again, my name is Apostle Milton Jones. I am the senior leader here at Ignite Depot. And our goal each time is always to help you to know who God is and what His desire is for your life. So many people have this misunderstanding of who God is. They don't understand the nature of God. They don't understand the character of God. Because if you understood the nature and character of God, then you would see God in a totally different way. Which means that when you come to Him, you wouldn't be afraid to come to Him, because you understand, first and foremost, the number one characteristic, the number one thing about God, the number one nature of God is this: God is love. It doesn't say God just has love. God is love. In fact, it says that in 1 John chapter 4, it says that God is love. Not that He has love, but that God is love. In fact, the only reason why we love God is because He loved us first. That's right. He loved us first. Even when we was acting crazy, out there doing whatever we thought was big and bad enough to do, He made a decision to love you and I first. And as a result of it, He manifested and demonstrated it. How did He demonstrate it? By sending His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to lay down His life for you and for me, that we might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. If you want to understand what's the whole thing about, God sent His Son Jesus to come to the earth, not to condemn the earth, but that the earth through Him might be saved. Now that right there is some good news. If you don't remember anything else that was said tonight, I need you to remember that. God, one of His number one characteristic is God is love. And He demonstrated His love by sending His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him, whosoever will receive Him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. Amen. Well, you know, last week we were still continuing our series on how Babylon is falling. And we really begin, if I was to give it a title, we're beginning into Babylon is falling. But now we're talking about being equipped for battle. Are you equipped for battle? And we was talking about last week about what our mandate here as a ministry is, but also what your mandate is as being members of the body of Christ. And as being members of the body of Christ, you have a part to play. See, the thing about it is when Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24, about how in the last days, these were the things that was going to be happening, you know, the wars and rumors of war and famines and earthquakes in diverse places and all these things was going to happen. And, you know, many people will be deceived. He did not say everybody was going to be deceived. He didn't say everybody was going to be falling for the adversary's tricks. He didn't even say everybody was going to get, you know, is going to become offended in him and that they're going to betray and that they're going to hate one another and they're going to, you know, just and be angry towards one. In some cases, they might even try to kill one another. He did not say everybody. He said, but many people would be that way. He says, but in the midst of all those things, what's going to be happening is the kingdom of God will be preached. The kingdom of God, which actually started being preached way back when John the Baptist came on the scene. What did John the Baptist say? He had a one-liner, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was his one-liner, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus started his ministry, what was his first, what did he announce? Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, he says, repent, change your mind, change your thinking, change your feelings, change your actions. Why? Because God's governing system, God's way of doing things is now at hand or is now available to you. But you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to operate according to the kingdom of God or whether you're going to continue to operate according to the Babylonian system or the kingdom of darkness. It's really, those are the only two options you have. There is no in between. You're either operating according to the kingdom of God or by default, you're operating according to the kingdom of darkness. Because each one of those kingdoms, there are laws. Just like there's laws here in the United States, there's laws in the nation of Canada, there's laws over in England, there's laws over in Australia. Every government has their own set of laws. And in accordance to Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says this. It says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. So you have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and you have the law of sin and death. Those are two very different laws. Those are two laws that are polar opposites to one another, and they yield very different results. So if you come into this as a follower of Jesus and you're just going through religious exercises, or you just going through a whole bunch of ceremonies, not understanding that when you got born again, you was translated from the kingdom of darkness and you was transitioned over into the kingdom of God's dear son, his son, Jesus Christ. He says, the moment you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, in accordance to Colossians 1:13, you were transitioned from the kingdom of darkness, and now you're in the kingdom of God. But see, the thing about it is, even though many people have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have not renewed their minds or renewed their way of thinking on how to operate according to the kingdom of God. And as a result, they continue to get some of the same results now as they got before. The only difference is they're not sinning as much as they used to. But he says, God, Jesus said, I came to give you life in abundance to the full and till it overflows, the God kind of life. So last week when we started talking about, you know, being equipped for battle and how, you know, that we, part of our assignment is in our ministry is as forerunners. And what do forerunners do? Forerunners actually, you know, come in the spirit and power. And what do they do? We go to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And for any of those who come under our umbrella and any of those who are in the body of Christ, your assignment is to help to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. In fact, you know, when he talks about in Ephesians 4 that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for what? To perfect the saints. To do what? To go out and do works of service or works of the ministry to edify or to build up the body of Christ so that we can all come into the unity and in the knowledge and faith of the Son of God. His name is Jesus Christ. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be preparing people for the coming of the Lord. What else are we doing? In order to do that, you got to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And then you got to take those who are rebellious. You got to get them to accept the wisdom of the godly. How do you do that? Because how do you go about doing that? You got to share the word with them. What do you got to do? You got to share word with them. You got to teach them what is the truth. So many people nowadays saying there is no absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's 100% incorrect. There is an absolute truth. And Jesus said it himself. He said it in John 17:17. He says, Father, sanctify, set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by him. So as members of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to begin to get equipped for battle. Equipped for battle. See, our church's mandate is to teach and train leaders. We are a teaching and training center for leaders. So it's not a typical gathering church. It's not a typical shepherding church, because on our ministry is apostolic and it's prophetic. So a lot of so when you're hearing the word, you'll be hearing prophetic words that will come across of things that are to come and how to prepare yourself for those things which are to come. See, you have to live with eternity in mind, not just trying to survive for the day or not trying to survive for the week, but you're living with eternity in mind, understanding you are one breath away from the rest of your life. You're one breath away, you know, because once you leave this life, you don't go to a purgatory. I mean, that was a building camp fun, but what you do is you transition from this life and you transition into everlasting life. And when you transition in everlasting life, based off of what you did in this life, there is no repentance from the grave, ladies and gentlemen. There is no, okay, we get to do a do-over. There is none of that. What it is you have today. The only thing you have is today. That's why he says, that's why Jesus says, you know, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He says, because this is your day of visitation. So he's telling you, you need to be equipped for battle. Can I tell you a secret though? The battle's already won, but it doesn't mean you don't have to show up. That's what we find out a lot of times. I've heard people say, you know, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord. Based talking about what happened with Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles, I believe it is in 20, and talking about when the enemy was coming up against them, and they got before the Lord and they sought God and they got an answer. And God said, he gave him a prophetic word. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. But you know what he did tell him to do? But you still had to go down to the battle. He says, the battle's not yours. You're not going to have to fight in the battle. He says, but you do have to show up. So a lot of times what happens is when people get in situations or circumstances, they just want to sit back and, you know, on the couch and it's like, God, the battle's not mine, it's yours. So I'm going to sit here and eat ho-hos and bun cakes. Nope. When it's time to battle, God may tell you, get up, show up, go down here and speak this word. Go down there and do this. Or he might tell you something to stop. And what you're going to find out when you're getting equipped for battle, according to the kingdom of God, it's going to be tough. It's not fighting with your hands and fists and feet and weapons, but your weapons are different, because your weapons are weapons mighty through God to the pulling down, tearing down, throwing down, casting away strongholds or fortified patterns of thinking. See, most people are defeated in their mind. If he can get you defeated in your mind, he can get you defeated outwardly. What did those people had to hear with Jehoshaphat? They had to hear a word from the Lord first. Once they heard the word from the Lord, it changed everything. And the moment that they heard the word of the Lord, he says, go down to the battle, but you're not going to have to fight in this battle. They went, if they would have not gone down like God told them to, they would have lost the battle, not because the victory wasn't already theirs, but because they didn't get in agreement and do what the Father said to do. And God says so many times, my people are being defeated left, right, and center, not because the victory is not already theirs. He says, but they won't show up for the fight, and they won't do what it is I'm instructing them to do the way that I tell them to do it. And then the adversary gets a foot up on you, and the next thing you want, you look, sit there with your lip busted, and you look at a guy like, God, what's up? And God looking at you like, what's up? He says, I told you the battle was not yours, but you still had to show up. What did they do when they were so confident in the fact that the battle was not theirs, but it was the Lord's, but they still had to show up? That when they got down there and the day came and they began to rehearse what it is that God had already said, what do? They did something that was unthinkable. I mean, as somebody who's been in the military, I have never seen anybody go to war and put the choir out front. But they were so confident in what it is that God said that they realized that they were not going to have to fight in the battle. The battle was already won. They weren't fighting for victory, but they're fighting from the position of victory. And as a result of it, what ended up happening? They got down there and they began to praise the Lord. It says, and they had one statement that they made. They said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing, you know what happened? It says that God caused an ambush. Who did it? God caused an ambush. And what did they do? They ended up turning on one another. The very ones who came to destroy them ended up turning on one another, and they ended up destroying one another. And God said this. He says that in this season, those who have come against you, those who tried to set you up, those who tried to hurt you, those who tried to destroy you, the very ones, just like when Haman was trying to kill Ruth's uncle, what happened? The very guillotine that he set up to try to kill him the very guillotine that he was using to try to kill Ruth's uncle or Esther's uncle was the very thing that he was killed by on himself. He ended up getting destroyed by his own weapon. And the adversary, the weapon he's been using against you for time again and time out, that very weapon will be the very thing will be used to destroy those who have been trying to take you out time after time, year after year. And not only that, but the adversary is going to have to restore back to you everything that was taken. Everything that was taken, everything that was stolen, he must restore back to you. And he knows it's a spiritual law. But if you don't understand the fact that he is a defeated foe, and then you can stop him in your tracks, how are you going to stop him in your tracks? Well, James chapter 4 says it this way. It says, James 4:7 says, submit to God. So you got to come under God's authority, come under God's rulership, come under God's word. And then the second thing is resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? Satan, I command you to stop. Minister, and you could tell his demonic forces, I command you to stop right now. You will stop in your maneuvers against me. You will take your hands off of my family. You will take your hands off of my finances. You will take your hands off of my job. You will take your hands off of whatever it is he's trying to. You will take your hands off and you will stop right now in the name of Jesus. Now, what it says, once you resist the devil, it says he must flee. When you look it up, it says when flee means he will run in stark terror. But if you don't understand that you have to be equipped for battle or equipped to fight, or you don't understand the fact that you're going to have to get trained up in the word of God so that you can understand how to use your authority. And when you use the authority given to you by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you use that delegated authority and you operate according to the spiritual laws, according to the kingdom of God, you win every single time. Do I have your attention? Are you interested? Are you ready to go a little further? I'm glad you are, because, man, we're going deeper in this thing tonight in the name of Jesus. Now, and also, because we are apostolic and prophetic ministry, we measure our growth not by how many people sit in the chairs or how many clicks we get or how many likes we get, even though all those things are important. But when we see more people, we look at it as this more opportunity to train more people to go out there to operate in the authority and operate in the dominion and operate according to the kingdom of God in their jurisdictions. Just like, you know, you have, you know, in the states right now, you have an election, you know, campaigns going on, and you got the Democrats and you have the Republicans. And I tell everybody, you know, when you listen to a politician, it's like listening to, you know, somebody they're interviewing for a job. So you don't necessarily look at just what it is that they're saying right now, but you go back and you look at their track record, because that's telling you what they're really going to do once they get into that position. No, not much different than when you interview for a job in your local city, town, company, whatever the case may be. Okay, well, they don't, even if they win the position, they don't have jurisdiction or reign over the entire world. They only have jurisdiction over the delegated areas, the boundaries of their kingdom. But see, so you as a citizen of the kingdom of God, in your house, in your community, in your city, in your state or your province or wherever you are, you have legal jurisdictions as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And in that jurisdiction, you can use the laws of the kingdom of God to begin to enforce things that are going on in your house, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your city, in your state, with your government, on your job, wherever you may go. Now, that doesn't give you authority of other people, but it does give you authority. You can tell any spirit of perversion or any spirit of fear or any spirit of separation or division or confusion, whatever it may be, you can command it by using the delegated authority that's been given to you by Almighty God to command it to be still. You can command it to cease in its maneuver. You could command it to go. And guess what? Just like with the adversary, remember, the first thing you have to do is you have to submit to God, and then you resist the devil, you resist whatever he's trying to bring that's contrary to what the word of God says, and it must flee. Now, what happens though? Just because you tell it to go away, you know, as long as there's people who were invited back in, it can try to come back in. But you know what? What are you going to do as one who has delegated authority in that area? You're going to speak to it and command it to go. But you see, the thing is, a lot of times we command it to go, but we don't put new things in its place. You know, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 12 is when it talks about how when the adversary, you know, he gets put out, and then the house, you know, the house where he left is swept clean. It's all cleaned up and everything. But this is what the demonic spirit will say. He's just roaming around looking for a new place to go. But if he can't go find a new place, what he does, he goes back to where he goes back and checks out his old house, his old address, the place where you used to give him space in your life. And he looks to see if there's an opportunity to get back in. And if you have not replaced it with something else, he is going to, not only will he come, but it says he will bring seven more, even more foul than what he is. Now think about that for a second. The only way he had any room to get back in was because you didn't, when you got all that stuff cleaned out, you did not replace it with something else. And that's the very thing I'm saying to you now. Now that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, now that you have made, you know, become a citizen of the kingdom of God, you have to be equipped with new equipment so you can operate according to the kingdom of God, so you can use your delegated authority to enforce God's kingdom on the earth, just like it is in heaven, in your house, in your community, in your city, in your province, in your state, in your region, in your government, whatever the case may be. Are you still interested? See, this is what it's all about, meaning when you're getting equipped for battle. It's not, you know, cutesy feel good, because if you don't do anything, you know, there's a saying out there, the only thing needed for evil to triumph is for good people to do absolutely nothing. And far too long, people are waiting on somebody else to do what God has already told them to do. Praise his holy name. Now, remember in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, you know, the thief, talking about the adversary, only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, what is he coming to steal? He's coming to steal your identity. Because if you don't know who you are, then you will spend your whole life struggling, trying to look for things or try to find value in on different things that have no value whatsoever. And then what's the next thing he's going to try to do? He's going to try to kill your purpose. Because if you don't know who you, if he can steal your identity and he can kill your purpose, you don't, because you don't know who you are, you don't know why you're here, you will spend your whole life going around and round and round in circles. And his ultimate goal is to do the third thing, and that's to destroy or to obliterate or eliminate your life. Now, that doesn't mean that you will die. What it simply means is his whole thing is to make sure you don't accomplish what it is God wanted you to come into the earth to do in the first place. Now, you got to understand, when you came into the earth, God already had a plan for your life. In fact, God still has a plan for your life right now. Even if you're not walking in it, it does not change the fact that he doesn't have a plan for you. So what will the adversary do? He will assign some a demon to you, and their whole motive is to keep you from finding out, one, who you are, two, why you're here, and three, understanding that God already had a plan and a purpose for you from the foundation of the world. But Jesus says, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I came. He said, Jesus said, but I came to give you life in abundance to the full and to the overflows. If it's killing, stealing, and destruction, you already know that's not God. But if it's something that's going to come and add to your life, it's going to call your life to be abundant, to the full, to the overflows, the God kind of life, you already know Jesus is the one who's come to bring those things to you. Now, we call the adversary, what does the adversary act like? He's an antagonist. What does an antagonist do? It's one who contends with another in combat. Remember, you are being equipped for battle. You have an adversary. You have, and his name is Satan, and he's an antagonist, and his whole thing is to contend with you in combat. And so you think you can't see him. Now, he might influence other people to do things against you or do things towards you, but you can't see him in the natural. But it, just because you can't see him does not mean he doesn't exist. And one of the greatest tricks, one of the greatest schemes he did was to get people to believe, convince people he did not exist, that he's just a figment of your imagination. He's just red with the pointed tails, and he walks around with a pitchfork, and he's on one shoulder and the angels on the other shoulder. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not how it happens. But his whole goal is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And to tell you, you know, we was talking about earlier how, you know, even when you cast, if you take authority over it and you cast it out, just like he said with Jesus, when he tempted Jesus in Luke chapter 4, it says he tempted Jesus for 40 days. And at the end of his tempting, when Jesus says, it is written, what did Jesus do? He resisted the devil with what? The word of God. And how are you going to be able to resist him? How are you going to be able to defeat him, or enforce his defeat, or command, or have jurisdiction over your area? How are you going to do it? By using the word of God. See, a lot of times people say all kinds of things, but don't use the word. And he already knows the only thing that's going to cause him to flee is by you resisting him with the word. And one of the words you can use, Satan, I command you to stop in the name of Jesus. And guess what he has to do? He has to stop. Or you say, Satan, I command you to go. But can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? It's kind of hard to force somebody to go if you're having tea and coffee with them every day. You cannot live like the world and then try to operate according to the kingdom. You have to, if you're making your decision to be a follower of Jesus, then your actions should support what words you are saying out of your mouth. You can't like be halfway in with God or halfway in with the adversary. You're either all the way in with the adversary or you're all the way in with God. There is no middle ground. Why? Because when you don't make time to replace, once you cast him out and you don't replace it with something else, what it says here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 45, it says the adversary or the demon spirits have walked around. He got kicked out of the house. He comes back. He searches out his old house and he says, and when he goes and see that the house has been swept and everything's put in order, but you haven't placed anything back on the inside of you, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Why? Because they did not prepare for battle. They were not equipped, not understanding that the adversary says he's going to go away for a season, but when a more opportune time comes, he will come back again. But you, that's not going to be your problem, because you're going to make a decision today. I'm ready to be equipped for battle. Say that with me. I'm ready to be equipped for battle. And in doing so, guess what happens? You are becoming very dangerous to the adversary and to his kingdom. And you can do exactly what it says in Luke chapter 1, 17. Prepare people for the coming of the Lord. Now, how are you going to go? Now, what if this is your very first time? What if you never, you know, been born again before? Or maybe you was born again and hey, you realize it and listen to this message, you haven't been living your best life. Not the God kind of life, not the life that Jesus came to give you. What do you do about that? Well, man, I'm so glad you asked, because it's the simplest thing you can do. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says it this way. It says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what do? Man, you pray this prayer with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I'm sorry, Lord, and I receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, or you pray that prayer in rededication, I'll welcome you back into the right position, welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you into right standing. And what do you do? Man, now you got to get in a word-based church to teach you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also teach you about the love of God and teaches you about the kingdom of God. We know that Ignite is such a place. So, man, hey, you know, if you're not around the local area, then what you can do, you can jump on here with us each week at 6 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time. And man, we'd like to share this word with you now. But if you are looking for a local church in your area and you need some help, man, send us an email at info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. We'd be more than willing to help you to try to locate a church in your local area. Also, if you have a prayer request, man, send your prayer request to info@ignitedepot.com. That's info@ignitedepot.com. And if you want to be a blessing to the ministry, man, you can send it also at give@ignitedepot.com. That's give@ignitedepot.com. Or you can go and find our webpage and you can just click on it. And what will happen is it will lead you to a site so that you can make, you know, credit card deposit, however you want to do it, to be a blessing to the ministry. Now, on perhaps a Pastor Juan and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us here tonight. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.